You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. This is a live program, and we invite your calls. So dial toll-free 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, that's 888-275-4265. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy. As always, it is great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. We do have a special treat today. The author of the Fifth Gospel, Bobby Conway, is in studio, and we're going to be talking a bit today about the Fifth Gospel, and the reason I want to put it into your hands is my way of saying thank you for your support for the ongoing outreaches around the world of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy in a safe, secure fashion online at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." And then Jesus says this, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In fact, says Jesus, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, neither do men take a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father who is in heaven." Now, those words of Jesus Christ, I think, are the essence of what it means to be a Fifth Gospel Christian. That's what we're going to be talking about today with Bobby Conway, the author of the Fifth Gospel, being a Fifth Gospel Christian, someone who testifies by their lips, but also by their love and by their light, the light that shines from them, not a light that's hidden, but a light that's exposed to the world. I think, Bobby, as we welcome you to the broadcast studios of the Christian Research Institute, that's what you had in mind when you wrote the Fifth Gospel, that we are called to be salt and light.
It sure is, Hank. I think that if we don't remember that God wants us to be distinguished in the world, we're going to lose sight of what this thing called Christianity is all about. In justification, we're declared righteous. In sanctification, we become what we are declared. And so being a Fifth Gospel Christian is embracing sanctification. And the best way to embrace sanctification is to think about glorification and who we're going to be in glory in a kingdom under the King, and be able to think about what those kind of character qualities we're going to exhibit in perfection and pull those into our present. And the more we can model the kingdom life now, like you see in the Sermon on the Mount, the more people can see what the distinguished church is to look like.
It's interesting, one of the quotes by D.L. Moody that you proffer in the book, The Fifth Gospel, he said, where one man reads the Bible, 100 read you and me. And maybe we should back up, even though we've been talking about this all month, the Fifth Gospel, what it means to be a Fifth Gospel Christian, we should back up and talk about why you set the stage for this book with the idea four Gospels that so often in a age of biblical illiteracy are not read, and a fifth gospel that is exposed to the world.
Yeah, so the title came after thinking a little bit about the late British evangelist Gypsy Smith, who once quipped, there are five gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian. And then he said this shocking statement, but most people never read the first four. And if that was true in the 19th century, how much more is it true here in a melting pot pluralistic culture in the United States of America? So I thought, you were the fifth gospel, and that's kind of the idea behind the book title. Now, it's important for me to say, and I want to stress, because some people who don't read the book and they just look at the title, they'll think that, oh, I'm saying that the Christian is another inspired gospel. And I continue to say, I am not saying that we are an inspired gospel. I'm just saying that we are to live an inspiring life. So we are a lowercase g gospel, just like we're a Christian to be Christ-like. We're not Christ and a lowercase gospel. We're to live good news, but Jesus is the gospel, right? We just want to model that after him. We want to model his life. And the Sermon on the Mount, as you just wonderfully quoted, gives us some great principles for being salt and light.
You said that becoming a true reflection of Christ begins with a healthy dose of humility and introspection. Mm-hmm. And I think so often of the words of Peter, who says that even when we're giving answers, we do so with that exact same sense of gentleness and respect, or humility and reverence.
Yeah, it's really important, that, especially for those of us that love Christian apologetics, to make sure that we are humble, that we're kind-hearted, that we're broken, that we're not just using people to kind of get them into the kingdom of God, so to speak, so we can just check them off the box. We need to love people, and we're not trying to win arguments from the standpoint by being argumentative. We're trying to give reasonable arguments for the Christian faith, and one of those arguments is our life, and that can be depicted in humility. And I think when somebody models humility, it's a very beautiful thing. Hey, we need to learn the apologetic of I don't know.
You know, you mentioned the word apologetics, or the defense of the faith. You're known as the one-minute apologist. That is a program that you do because you want to equip God's people to always be ready with an answer.
Yeah, and it's been a privilege. I've had you on the program and other great Christian apologists and philosophers. And this is a YouTube program that we've done over 500 videos. And we tackle people's questions, and we try to give credible answers to curious questions. And we do it in a creative context. And so I think it's important, even in the apologetics arena, to be able to embrace aesthetics and to show creativity. And even through the interview format, it can be a relational component. And so what does apologetics even need to look like in today's culture, through the use of story, through having relationships, through using creativity and some of those different elements? Because we want to tell the world that there are credible answers to their curious questions.
Talk about the church, because you're a pastor, mm-hmm. and so often churches lose their way. They lose a clear indication for their constituency of what they're supposed to be all about. Obviously, within the context of a church, we worship God in community through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. We experience oneness with the body of Christ, as Paul delineates in Romans chapter 12. But we're also to be equipped within the context of the church, not to be on a love boat, but rather to go out and impact the world. And I think that impacting the world, something you talk about in the book, is abdicated because we have sort of been bullied into silence within the culture.
Yeah, I've heard it said before, you know, the church is, you know, not a cruise ship, it's a battleship. And we have got to take on that mentality. And when a cruise ship mentality is, we're just trying to, you know, tickle everyone's ears, we're trying to just placate them, we're doing everything we can to make it comfortable. But a battleship, you have the mentality that we're an equipping church, we're training, we're gearing people up to reach people, we're on mission. And I think it's important that we stick to the scriptures, Hank, because what we often end up doing as pastors is we start reading all the ways to be culturally relevant. Look, I don't have to try to be culturally relevant. I live in the 21st century. I have to try to be culturally irrelevant. What I got to try to do is understand the scriptures in its own cultural milieu, and then how to build a bridge from the ancient principles to today's people so that they could glorify God by fleshing out scripture in their daily lives.
Where's the church gone wrong?
Well, I think that the church could get back on track in a number of areas. I think that we need expository teaching from the pulpit. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go book by book by book by book. It just means that you look to the Bible, and that's what you're looking to. I think we need the Word of God. I think that we need pastors that
sometimes we do the inverse of that. What we have is a message and try to back it up by the Bible.
Exactly.
As opposed to expounding the Bible.
Yeah, let me share my four stories for the week. And oh, by the way, let me tack on this set of scriptures to kind of paint it. And I want to say, no, let me tack on a story and let me highlight God's Word, because that's where the power is in God's Word. And so I think that we need to unashamedly teach the Word of God, and then when I think it's great accountability for pastors to take the challenge of moving through books of the Bible, because you'll come to places and you'll be like, well, do I believe this here? And then you have to ask yourself, God, align me to the Word of God. It's not my responsibility to make the Bible adjust to my appetite. And so that's what I'm passionate about. And so by moving through the scriptures, Hank, I find that God's dealing with me. That's what I want. Look, the longer that God lets me live on earth, the greatest thing that could happen to me is that I could learn to align to more of God's Word, that I can just align to more of it. And I can't align to it if I don't read it, if I don't know it, if I don't teach the flock it. So that's a big thing. And then that, if we'll do that, if we'll keep the Word there, then things like, you know what, the church isn't built on an individual. It's Jesus Christ who's a leader. So I think we need team leadership in the church. I think we need to quit treating the church like, you know what, show up and watch this next event and become a programmatic church, event to event, event, and then come watch what the staff pulled off. I think that we need to equip the saints for the work of ministry, help people to discover their spiritual gifts, help them to know who they are and who they're not, plug them into certain ministries, and then godly spiritual leaders shepherding them, stewarding them to be distinguished in this world and to live on a mission.
I've heard someone say that if the pastor seeks to do the work of ministry on his own, it is a prescription for a nervous breakdown or a heart attack. You have to be equipping God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up and strengthened.
Yeah, and I think so often in the church, pastors try to do too much, or they don't know who they are and they don't know who they're not. And it's important for people in ministry to really know who they're not, and then to delegate to their weaknesses, because there'll always be people in the church that want the pastor to do everything. And for me, I want to know where my sweet spots are. So biblical elders are to doctrinally protect, they're to oversee, and they're to shepherd the flock. And certain elders will be stronger in certain areas. Like there are certain elders that we've had in our church that have more people energy than I might, because I love to doctrinally protect. Well, when somebody gets called to teach, they better have a love for study. Otherwise, they're not going to have anything to say. So most teachers need lots of introverted energy so that they can sit in a room and study so that they can doctrinally protect.
Talking to Bobby Conway, he's the author of The Fifth Gospel. It is a book that you need to read. And one of the things I want you to note as you listen to Bobby is not just the content, but the delivery. It is a delivery with passion, and that passion comes through in the book, a passion for us, not simply to recognize that we're Fifth Gospel Christians, but what that entails and how being authentic New Testament Christians, we can make a difference while there is yet time. Again, Bobby Conway has written The Fifth Gospel. It is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy by simply contacting me via the mail at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also contact us on the web at equip.org, or when you talk to one of our resource consultants, that number 888-7000. and the letter CRI. When we come back from the break, I want to talk about love, as Francis Schaeffer once said, as the final apologetics. Also remember that as we go to break, that there are five reasons that I would like you to have a copy of the fifth gospel. Kind of matches up nicely. It's an insightful book, as I've talked about, that clearly discerns the age in which we live. Secondly, it addresses issues we need to be mindful of as Christians, but does so with the style of smile. I like the book as well because it is eminently practical. That's one more reason I want to put it in your hands. And it's my way of saying thank you, fourthly, for standing to shoulder with the Christian Research Institute in the battle for life and truth. And then finally, the fifth reason that I want to put it in your hands is I want our partnership to be about mutual value creation. In other words, your support enables the Christian Research Institute to equip Christians around the globe. And the fifth gospel is something that I can put into your hands to equip you to be an effective witness, to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Again, you can get your copy of the fifth gospel in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And again, it is available for your gift. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking about what I was talking about, and that is Francis Schaeffer and the final apologetic, which just happens to be love. We'll cash that out for you in just a few moments.
Did you know they're watching? No, I'm not talking about the NSA or the FBI. I'm talking about your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. In fact, because some may never read the four Gospels, they may be reading you as a fifth. That's right, you, the only Gospel some may ever read. To receive your copy of the fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI. Or make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank will be right back in a moment. Do you ever feel like throwing in the towel? Do you sometimes feel that the odds are so stacked against you that it's not even worth fighting for what you deeply believe in? Well, be comforted. You're not alone. As Vince Lombardi once noted, fatigue makes cowards of us all. The simple truth is that fighting the good fight takes its toll on all of us, and our spiritual batteries must be regularly recharged. And that's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a production of powerful meditation set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of this amazing King of Creation DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians, you're not like him." If that's true, it would be a sobering indictment. After all, aren't we called to bear his image? Perhaps that's one of the reasons for the growing skepticism and even hostility towards Christianity today. Fewer and fewer people are reading the four Gospels, but they haven't ceased to read the fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. Because our incarnation of the gospel is to be both visual and verbal, we commend you to Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master. Not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request the Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. You know the line, "I'll believe it when I see it"? Well, have you ever thought about the gospel in that light? That people might not believe it when they hear it, but would they believe it if they saw it? Paul exhorted Timothy, "Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." The simple reality is that a spiritual, hungry, but skeptical world is watching. And the gospel our lives are preaching will always be more persuasive than words alone. That's why Hank Hanegraaff recommends reading Bobby Conway's book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for standing with us, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks so much, Randy. And I do want to mention a little something about finances. As we get near the end of the month, we probably, as it looks right now, need to make up about $60,000 before the end of the month. That's a lot of money in a short time. So if you can give to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute at this time, it would be deeply appreciated. We're coming out of the summer. Summer months are always tough. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. It is always Resource Consultants. They are standing by, 888-7000 in the letters CRI. And as we've mentioned all month, for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, literally around the globe, we'll put into your hands the fifth gospel, which will be energizing. It will equip, it will encourage, it will exhort you as you live out the Christian life, recognizing that we only have this one mortal life, only one life, soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now, we're going to exist for all eternity, and the reality is every single person who's ever been birthed on this planet is going to live forever, either apart from the goodness, grace of God, or forever reconciled to the goodness and grace of God. And the fifth gospel is really a way of underscoring that reality. Being the fifth gospel Christian is not about being hip or being savvy or being 21st century or anything like that. It is about using your life to reach the life of another person. And I've often said, Bobby, that if someone is willing to go to heaven alone, they might not be going there at all. In other words, if we have received the most indescribable gift, a gift whereby the imago Dei, the image of God within us, is being restored and will be ultimately restored in glorification, as you said in the beginning of the broadcast, if that is true, then we ought to be those that are at least willing to give the bread of life to another person. Now, I'm not suggesting we have to run around frantically grabbing people by the lapels and saying, "Brother, are you saved?" But I am suggesting, as you do in the book, that we ought to be equipped Christians.
Yeah. You know, I talk about this idea of love in the book, and Jesus says, you know, the world will know you are my disciples if you love one another. Well, I also think when he releases us to missional living, and we've all been released to missional living, that's not just something for the trained evangelist or the pastor. we need to realize that the most unloving thing that we can do as Christians is to not share the gospel with those that God puts within our pathway when those opportunities avail themselves. So what ends up happening, Hank, I think one of the reasons that we don't evangelize is we have too much self-love because we worry so much what people are going to think of us and not enough other people's love, concerned about their eternity with God, concerned about their sins being forgiven. And that applies to myself, where I love myself too much sometimes, and I'm too worried about what this person's going to think of me if I share the gospel. And sometimes we put wanting to be liked as a value that trumps this person needing to be saved.
Before the break, I mentioned Francis Schaeffer saying that love is the final apologetic, something you talk about in the book.
Yeah, so what Schaeffer is getting at here is the power of love, and he's picking up on Jesus' words. Jesus said, the world will know. In other words, Jesus is giving us a distinguishing tip of the hat, so to speak, saying, hey, here's one of the ways that the world will know you're my disciples, if you love one another. Let's face it, Hank, love is hard work. It's the hardest work we will ever do, as I've heard it said before. In particular, the Bible says, husbands, love your wives as Christ does the church. And that's a steep command. In fact, one of the greatest ways that God shows us if we really love is through forgiveness. God allows us to get hurt in life so that we can become like Jesus and forgive. And so the only way to become completely like Jesus, we have to be forgiving people. And the only way to forgive is you have to be hurt. And the context that we often can get hurt the most is in the home. And so as a husband, when I have some intense fellowship with my wife, I need to know that I have got to love her like Christ does the church. And will I forgive and will I proceed in trust? And that's not always easy work, but I believe those kind of relationships in the home go a long ways.
Something else that you write about in the book is that people are far more convinced by our life than by our brains. And this is something that we have picked up on as a ministry. We've talked about the fact that not only does truth matter, but life matters as well. From what Paul said to Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely, persevere in them. Because if you do, you'll save both yourself and your hearers.
Yeah, so what can happen sometimes is we pit these against each other. You see these people that are just so filled with love, yet they love looks like accepting everything and not discerning anything. And then you have others in the camp where it's as if, boy, they're really sharp. They're great erudites. They're able to use their mind. They're able to discern, but they can cut through truth. But guess what? They can cut through you as well. And it's important for us to bring truth and love together. They're friends, and they belong together, and we need to keep them together and not pit them against each other.
You know, one of the things that I thought about recently, not all that long ago, I was in Vietnam. I was in Ho Chi Minh City. And while I was there, I recognized that the population of Vietnam is 87 million. And if 1% of those 87 million are followers of Jesus Christ, let's say that's 870,000 people, a lot of people, but still only 1%. And if they were reproducing disciple makers, if each one of them led one person to faith in Christ and discipled that person in 1 year, and if the next year everybody did that again, just one person, in less than 7 years, you'd evangelize all of Vietnam. I mean, this gives us an idea of the power of spiritual multiplication, because so often we look at ourselves and we say, I am just one person, but the power of one has huge potential.
It sure does. And this is one of the things that I'm passionate about with my book. At the end, I leave these study guide questions. And it's my hope that we'll see a fifth gospel movement where we'll say, let's get passionate together as a church and let's get in small groups. Let's get some people discipling people, walking them through these chapters and figuring out a way that our lives can be distinguished. You know, Hank, what I've done with my son, he's 13 now. Last year, I took him and I took a group of his friends and I spent the entire year discipling these boys. And I started off, what is a follower of Jesus? How do you witness? How do you pray? How do you study the Bible? How do you treat the opposite sex? How do you deal with your thought life? You know, because I remember somebody once saying, you know, I parented my kids with this whole thought that one of these days we're going to load up the U-Haul and they're going to drive off for college and we're going to say goodbye. But my real question is what are they really leaving with? Just a truck full of stuff or with values? And as moms and dads, we got a responsibility to disciple our kids. And I'm excited about discipling these boys again this year. And I've been telling them, I said, kids, now you need to go and apply what I taught you this week at your school. And it was so neat the next week, be able to show up and say, okay, who have you discipled this week? And one person goes out and like does something with a little four-year-old in the neighborhood. You know, we have so much potential to disciple. We just need to be released to do it.
I've oftentimes said that we have our altars, we have our churches, we have our Bibles, and we are at ease while the world perishes. You talk in your book about some of the idols that have become God supplanters.
And there are lots of them. An idol, you know, we tend to think of just some golden calf that we throw a party around. And that's not what I mean by idolatry. An idol is anything that becomes your ultimate. And often these are good things like a relationship. Money's not the root of all evil. The love of money, or it could become your career, or it could become education. We have to make sure that if we're going to distinguish our lives in the world, that God really is our ultimate. If our ultimate is the same ultimate as the non-believers, call it money or success, then we're not going to have the opportunity to distinguish our lives the way that God wants us to. Not only that, these things can all pass away. And that's what's so great about God. He is the great I am. He is our everlasting constant. He had no beginning. He'll never expire. And all these other things that become our many ultimates, they're going to vanish. They're going to fade away. But God is the ultimate ultimate. And that's why we need to keep Him premier in our life.
Francis Chan, a good friend of mine, wrote a book recently. He talked about how people like myself, when you get in your 50s, 60s, 70s, they spend all of their time really focused on how they're going to maximize the last 10 years or 20 years of their life on earth. And he makes the contrast between that and really maximizing the next 10 trillion years of your life, because we are, well, we're eternal beings.
Yeah, I remember hearing R.C. Sproul say this powerful statement. He said, if I could shout out one thing at the world, if you had to reduce all of my words into a compression statement, and I had this one line to say to the world, I would shout out at the top of my lungs, right now counts forever.
Right now counts forever. And this is one of the reasons that we are sincerely promoting, not promoting in a secular or a crass sense, but promoting in a sanctified sense, the book, The Fifth Gospel by Bobby Conway. It is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. It will equip, exhort, encourage, edify you as you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You can get your copy on the web in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and Resource Consultants. They are standing by 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And do remember, as I mentioned in this broadcast, we need your support prayerfully and financially. We believe that prayer is firing the winning shot, but we're asking you to support this ministry tangibly as the Lord leads you in prayer. And this is not a give-to-get scheme. When we give you something for supporting this ministry, it is because we want to equip you, we want to say thank you, and we want you to be a co-laborer in Christ with this one-of-a-kind ministry outreach. When we come back from the break, we're going to take a sober turn and talk about what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called the cost of discipleship. And the one great thing that we can emphasize for you in the next section is that while there's a cost, the benefit is incalculable, because we are not merely living as Christians changed lives, but we are living exchanged lives, the life of Christ within. He is living through us. That is the great experience of being a follower of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back in just a few moments with more of Bobby Conway, the author of The Fifth Gospel. So please don't touch that dial.
Mahatma Gandhi was once asked how he felt about Christianity. His reply? He said he would seriously consider becoming a Christian if he ever met one. Interestingly, your non-Christian friends and associates might be saying exactly the same thing. They may never read the four Gospels, but they could be reading you as the fifth. To receive your copy of the fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this. Let's face it, life today isn't for the faint of heart, especially if you're swimming against a spiritual and cultural current that is headed toward the falls and gaining force. In fact, if you're fighting the good fight and seeking to be salt and light in your sphere of influence, you're going to get tired. We need to occasionally be still and let our hearts, minds, and strength be renewed with images of God's goodness and power. That's why we want to send you a wonderful DVD called King of Creation. King of Creation is a collection of powerful meditations set to stunning photography that is guaranteed to put the wind back in your spiritual sails. To receive your copy of King of Creation on DVD, call 888-7000-CRI and give a gift to support the life-changing work of CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. D.L. Moody once noted, "Where one man reads the Bible, 100 read you and me." That's a sobering thought, but one that could also encourage us. Because while most non-Christians today will never read the four Gospels, they will read a fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. By living out the Gospel, we gain credibility. By verbalizing the Gospel, we provide clarity. And that's exactly why we recommend you to read Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. It will help you wrestle with the critical issues involved in living out your faith in front of a watching world. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. From the outside, Houston preacher Joel Osteen is charming, attractive, and his teaching, well, it makes you feel good. But the truth is, Osteen preaches a seductive and highly dangerous form of Christianity that's leading millions of people astray. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. And it's why you must get your own copy today. You must be able to defend yourself with truth about what Joel Osteen really teaches. And this important resource arms you with everything you need to do so. Please call today and request your copy of The Osteenification of American Christianity, 888-7000-CRI. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. There are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the Christian, but most people never read the first four. So said Rodney Smith, a 19th century British evangelist who led passionate evangelical campaigns to countries like Australia, South Africa, and the United States. It's interesting to note that more than a century later, some things haven't changed. A great many people still don't read the four Gospels, but they may be reading you as a fifth. That's right, you. You may be the only gospel some may ever read. Are we comfortable with what people will understand of the gospel if we're the only gospel they read? To benefit from insights into this critical question, don't miss Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our thank you for your gift, Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Few Christians can rightly say with the Apostle Paul, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. In my view, Bobby Conway is just such a Christian, as such his passion for Christ is, well, contagious. So I'm urging you to read, to prayerfully devour his book, The Fifth Gospel, and you too will catch the passion to move beyond merely reading the Gospels to actually living the authentic Christian life. By the way, you can go to the web and see an article by Bobby Conway on the front page of the web. It's called The Fifth Gospel, and he's in that article talking about how the Fifth Gospel is really the ultimate apologetic. He's talking about you being the ultimate apologetic. So that article, it's available for free on the web. The book, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org, or write me, as I mentioned earlier, at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Bobby, as you know, I've been traveling around the world over the last few years in particular, and I have spent a lot of time with the persecuted church, people who have been, in many cases, unnecessarily persecuted or imprisoned for their faith. In some cases, in places like China, they're imprisoned because China is very pragmatic. They want to keep stasis amongst the religions so they don't have a Tahrir Square moment. So they're very concerned about spontaneous activism fueled by social media. And as a result of that, they're clamping down on Christians just as they would on cultists, because oftentimes they can't tell the difference. And spending time with Christians who have been imprisoned for no reason at all and have in prison suffered all the indignities that one human being can foist on another, I end up asking them the question, how did you sustain yourself? Did you simply lose heart? It had to be horrible, terrible. And one thing I've noticed is so many of them say, no, that was God's plan. That was God's economy for me. And in that context, God gave me peace in the midst of the storm. And that, in essence, is a point that you bring out in the fifth gospel, that persecuted people are actually blessed. Jesus said that. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, and you think of like the Apostle Paul. Imagine having him in your home group, and then you ask everybody to go around in a circle and talk about your life goals. And then Paul says, you know, I want to know Christ, and I want to become like him in his suffering, and, you know, I want to share in his suffering and become like him in his death. We would all think, who is this guy? What's he doing? I mean, I think John the Baptist and Paul the Apostle would have had a hard time getting a job in the American church, but that's another story. The Apostle Paul wanted to suffer. He believed that there was a privilege to that. I think of my friend Sam from India when I was at Dallas Seminary. I almost choked on my meat when we were eating together, and he looks over at me and he says, Bobby, I'm struggling, you know, and I'm like, well, what's wrong, Sam? He says, I've prepared my life for a life of suffering, and here in America, I'm not suffering. So it was as if, how do you comfort somebody that wants to be comforted because they're not suffering? It's like when I suffer, Hank, I want out as fast as possible. And I'm thinking, okay, you live in a different world than I do.
Well, Tertullian, the early church father, said that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Talk about the meaning of martyr as you do in the fifth gospel.
Well, the word martyr means a witness, and it carries this idea of those who died witnessing for their faith. They would not be silenced. They would not shut up. And in the scriptures, we see that Jesus, he gave witness that he's the way, the truth, and life. He died. We know that others did as well. According to church tradition, we have 11 of the 12 disciples dying martyrs' deaths. And some of that varies where people stand there. I remember being in India and being so humbled. I saw some people freshly beaten for the gospel. And they came from a village from the north. One guy was recently saved, and he was told if he goes back to the village, they're going to cut his hands and feet off. And I think they said they're going to pour kerosene all over his family. And then somebody looked at me and said, he's ready to die for the gospel. And then he said, why don't you pray for him? And this guy started praying for him, and I wanted to weep. I wanted to run away. I thought, these people walk 10 miles, some of them. They've been sitting on a hard concrete floor for 4 hours, worshiping God, listening to God. We complain because our seats aren't cushioned enough. And they are so hungry. And then I was going to go in, and they're going to look at me like I'm the authority. And I thought, I'm nothing. What do I have to say to you? And not only that, Hank, I was overwhelmed because I thought, I'm going to get up and speak, and I might send these people to their death. Like I'm thinking I'm doing a good job here in the American church if I could get somebody to go out and just, give their waitress a good tip after, their meal at church. But these people are so eager to live the word. And boy, I just felt deeply, deeply disturbed seeing what that looked like firsthand.
Yeah, I can't leave that alone. Let's talk some more about that. I mean, you look at the early Christian church. They saw that Christ had died, and then they witnessed the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, and that made all the difference in the world. And so here you have scared, scattered disciples turned into lions of the faith. They were willing to face the tyrant's brandished steel, the lion's gory mane, the fires of 1,000 deaths, because they had seen that Christ had risen from the dead, and they knew they too would rise from the dead. I think, Bobby, that if people in the modern epoch, Christians, really understood the power of resurrection, it would be a change maker.
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought this up, Hank, because in Isaiah chapter 6, what prepares Isaiah to go on mission? A great vision of God and seeing how holy God is and how unholy he is. And he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord. And he speaks of his lips, perhaps because he's just seen holy angels praising a holy God with holy lips. And then in the New Testament, the same thing. What would prepare these disciples to go on mission? A vision of the Lord. And according to John chapter 12, we know that Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus. And here in the New Testament, these disciples, they're scattering during his earthly ministry, but after the resurrection, they are infused with boldness when the Spirit of God comes. And so that begs the question, maybe one of the reasons, Hank, that we're not doing evangelism is because we're not seeing God in our time with him. We're not praying. We're not seeking him. And until we recognize how holy he is, and it casts light on how unholy we are, we're not going to go out to seek to bridge the difference, because Jesus is the mediator. And I used to say when I got saved, God first revealed himself to me, then he revealed me to myself. I can't know who I am apart from who God is.
We're talking to Bobby Conway again. He's the author of the Fifth Gospel. This is the resource that we want to put into your hands as our expression of thanks for you standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth. Again, the Fifth Gospel available when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. When you contact us on the web, equip.org, or when you call our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Counting the cost, one of the chapters in your book, you point out that failing to count the cost will lead to compromise, complacency, or maybe just plain old caving in.
The late Bishop J.C. Ryle said something to the like of this. The worst thing we can do for disciples is fail to let them know what they're taking in hand. We need to let people know what they're taking in hand. Jesus would preach, and people would walk away because the cost was too high. And then he looked at his disciples that were left and said, do you want to go as well? Where else are we to go, Lord? And so it's important for us because there'll come a point in our Christian walk where God will ask something of us. And if we don't determine ahead of time that he's worth it all, we'll hold on tightly and won't live a yielded, fully surrendered life.
Part of that is not embracing false gospels. And as you point out in the book, you cannot serve two masters. There's a false gospel of consumerism afoot.
There sure is. And I think that we have to be careful to use the phrase Malcolm Muggeridge once said, that we're not licking at the earth. And Mitch, so many people were just trying to consume. You know, as it's been said before, you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. And we need to store up our treasures in heaven. And we have a lot of preaching going on today that's promising prosperity as a means of using God, basically, to get material gain. God may give people material possessions, but he also may ask, like the rich young ruler, to go sell all that you have, then come follow me.
I want you to end the broadcast today by talking about the joy of being a fifth gospel Christian in contrast to what C.S. Lewis described as half-hearted creatures fooling around with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, kind of like a child making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. In other words, we are far too easily satisfied and pleased.
You know, C.S. Lewis also talked about this idea that we talk about what we delight in. You know, we delight in a beautiful sunset, so we talk about it. We delight in a good-tasting meal, and we talk about it. We delight in that sports game that we enjoyed, and we talk about it. Perhaps one of the reasons, Hank, that we're not telling others about Jesus and talking about Jesus, could it be because we're not delighting in God?
Bobby Conway, and again, we appreciate your passion as a pastor, your excellence in writing. I mean, the book is readable. It's something that is life transformational. I mean, it's really at the root of it, getting back to basics. It's called The Fifth Gospel. People oftentimes will not read in our culture, especially a biblically illiterate culture, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but they will read you. Are you the kind of Christian that should be read? Well, if you're an equipped Christian, you're not only the kind of Christian that should be read, but you are the kind of Christian that can make a difference for time and for eternity. As C.S. Lewis, and we've quoted him a few times today, said there are only two kinds of people in the world, those who say to Christ, "Thy will be done," and those to whom Christ in the end says, "Thy will be done." And we are the ones who are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. All too often, instead of being ambassadors for Jesus Christ, we are secret agents not willing to blow our cover before the unregenerate world. Well, the fifth gospel, it'll make a difference in your life, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be right back here tomorrow answering your questions live on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Mahatma Gandhi once said, "Jesus is ideal and wonderful, but you Christians, you're not like him." If that's true, it would be a sobering indictment. After all, aren't we called to bear his image? Perhaps that's one of the reasons for the growing skepticism and even hostility towards Christianity today. Fewer and fewer people are reading the four Gospels, but they haven't ceased to read the fifth Gospel, the lives of those who claim to be Christ followers. Because our incarnation of the gospel is to be both visual and verbal, we commend you to Bobby Conway's new book, The Fifth Gospel. To receive your copy of The Fifth Gospel as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org, equip.org. The battle for authentic Christianity has never been more intense. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has written a book called The Osteenification of American Christianity. As the title suggests, Osteenification is nothing short of the wholesale transformation of American, indeed global, Christianity. It is the prime provocateur of a seductive brand of Christianity that reduces God to a means to our ends and beckons multitudes to the table of the Master, not for the love of the Master, but for what is on the table. You need to defend yourself and those you love against these insidious teachings. Please call today to request The Osteenification of American Christianity. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.